Live from the Christmas Ballroom on the 32nd floor of the Nakatomi Tower in Century City, California, it's the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your hosts, the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, renowned herpetologist, retired professional reptile rodeo clown, and the fabled insurance expert who once saved Christmas by waiving the deductible on Santa's liability and collision policy, Peg Leg Greg Ringhausen. Also featuring author, inventor, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative for the Northern Brotherhood of Professional Toy Makers, Local 1635, and also the eldest of the Ringhausen Brothers, Richard J. Ringhausen. And lastest and leastest, marksman, sculptor, six-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and a man who once ice jumped 17 barrels of frozen eggnog on ABC's Wide World of Sports, the youngest of the Ringhausen Brothers, and heartthrob of female elves the world over, Alan Ringhausen.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year. All that
Merry Christmas,
crap.
Everyone.
And as a special Christmas gift to all of our podcast listeners, Brother Brad is joining
Yay!
Us.
Yay!
First time ever.
We had a guest.
Some might not call that a gift, but okay.
We'll Brad is a podcast virgin.
Mm. That's about all.
But I'm the one guy that listens to podcasts
all
the time.
All day.
Not just ours.
All day.
When you're
all
in the
day.
When you're
all day.
In a deer stand, are you listening to podcasts? Or are you
No,
asleep?
Today I listen to you guys.
Well, that's
the
good.
Live radio
version. But that's live.
But that's a half hour.
Well, the rest of it I slept.
I figured that was coming.
Okay, so you were deer hunting.
Yes, sir.
Christmas deer hunting story. Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. I'm just out wondering if you've ever fallen out of a deer stand.
No. I have not.
I have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I was...
Do you bounce?
Well, here's the deal.
Have you ever...
Bumbles bounce!
Yeah, you got it. Little known fact. What are you saying there, Brad?
Go ahead. What's your story? How'd you come in?
I want to tell mine.
Yes, it is.
The dentist from...
How did you come to fall out of a deer stand?
Okay, so I'm using, and there's different types of deer stands that you have. You have a climber deer stand, you have a ladder deer stand, or you have the climbing sticks that actually, you know, it's like strapped to the side of the tree and you climb up. So I'm in using a climbing stick, and I hadn't...
Explain that to anyone that doesn't know what a
climbing
stick is.
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, well, go ahead.
And I'm climbing up these climbing sticks, you know, they're strapped right to the tree, and you have to make this transition where you go from the climbing stick over to the actual stand that you sit in, you know, during, for like 2 or 3 hours. But as I was reaching from the climbing stick over the stand, you know, I just kind of let go of the stick and was going to make the, and I missed. I missed grabbing the actual stand, and so I'm falling, and like, as I'm falling, I'm like, holy crap, I'm falling. But as I'm kind of laying around, you always have a pull-up rope, you know, like a piece of string that, like nylon cord that your stuff that, you know, like your bow or your gun, you pull that up with the string. On the way down, I somehow managed to grab the string, which was a mistake. Because the rest of the way down, it just burns a groove into the palm of my hand. But I landed, you know, like flat on my back. And I'm laying there for a while, and I kind of move around. Nothing's busted. So I get up and climb back up. But I'm sitting there, and now my hand is burning so bad I can't hardly stand it. And I'm looking for, you know, like, it's cold outside, so I'm taking my gloves off. My fingers are freezing, but the palm of my hand is burning so bad, I'm putting it on anything metal that I can find.
Like the gun barrel?
I was going to say, like the Nazi in Raiders of the Lost.
Oh, yeah.
Lost Ark. Yeah, just find snow. Yeah.
And congratulations, Brad. You named a movie Greg Scene.
Yes. How you like that?
That's amazing.
It is.
I thought you were going to say when you fell out of the tree that, like, your gun and your cooler and everything else all fell with you.
No. The gun going down was a different story. Brad and
I have one of those too.
Brad and I were actually out hunting. When I say hunting together, we're actually each in a separate deer stand. But it was one of those nights where it had kind of started to sprinkle and I wasn't seeing anything. So I decided to get down early and I go to lower my gun and the string that I had the gun tied to kind of slipped through my hand and the gun hit kind of hard. It didn't go off or anything.
We're not good at hunting.
Once we get to the stand, so anyway, we're okay. It's just getting to the stand.
I just had this visual picture of the gun going down, the butt of it hitting the ground and just shooting him in the face.
That's how most gun accidents happen.
So anyway, I get down, get my gun, go to the truck, and I go to pick up Brad because I see he's starting to walk in too. He's giving up. And as he gets to the truck, we see a deer standing out in the field, you know, not that far away. So I reach into the truck, grab the gun, and go to shoot at the deer. I'm like right on it, you know, beads right on it. Shoot the gun, boom, deer runs away. And Brad's like, well, that wasn't a very good shot. I said, well, I don't know. So I put the gun back in the truck, and we start driving towards the front of the farm, and we see another deer out in the field. So I stop, get out, and I kind of like reach back to get the gun out, and I cut my hand. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I look at the gun, and the barrel had peeled back just like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Like Elmer Fudd when...
Yeah, like puts his finger in the barrel.
You know what it was like in... Now, I'm going to get specific here.
Go ahead,
In the movie Rio Lobo.
Haven't seen that one, Brad.
Gun, when he's walking, using it, yeah.
When the guy, he's using the gun as a cane to get back Blue to Tom. John Wayne.
Blue Tom.
Sergeant Major.
And he takes that shot and it blows up in his face. And they show the barrel of the gun and that's what it looked like.
Yes, sir.
So
because when I had lowered that gun down from the stand, the barrel went into the mud and packed mud into the end of the barrel, and it blew up.
So in order to hunt, you don't have to have any training or any sort of approval from government or anything.
Oh, not at our age.
Well, not only that, just surviving you guys going out into the field, just near-death accidents.
Yeah, but nobody got hurt. We can laugh about it now.
Well, I know, but I mean...
What that's telling me is that we were meant to live.
I'm
meant
pretty to hunt. Sure, but you spend more money getting a hunting license than you do, like, getting a marriage license or...
Oh, yeah.
A child.
And which of those three is the most dangerous?
Children.
I'll get back to you.
On the topic of children, of course it's...
What do you want to know,
it's,
Rick?
It's Christmas now, right? But it was Thanksgiving. And my understanding is that...
Nothing happened at my house.
Middle brother Alan has... or I guess he's number two brother.
Wait a minute,
Alan.
I have a dog story first. Oh, no, wait. No, I don't.
Is it the same one?
But, hey, Alan.
Let's hear your dog. Let's hear your Thanksgiving dog story.
Do you have a dog story?
Okay. I want to preface this by saying that... I still love both of my children.
If only one, they could say the same thing.
One more than the other right now.
No. Okay, so a rare situation at our house. Oldest daughter and her husband and their dog show up for Thanksgiving. And their dog is an old dog that's pretty calm, doesn't get excited about much of anything, lays around a lot.
That would be a lab, right?
Nala.
It's Nala. Golden retriever.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But Nala.
But a calm...
Nala's name. Yeah, very calm. Yeah. You know, good-natured dog. No problems, whatever.
Is that the one Sarah goes out and babysits? She fly out to California and babysit that dog?
Hang on. Did everybody notice that heavy sigh that he just let out?
And his head goes down? Okay. Oh, man, that wasn't supposed to get out.
Nala has come to your house to visit this time.
Yeah.
It's first time for Nala to be back at your house?
No, we've had Nala there before.
So. Okay, so she's flown back and forth?
She flies.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Let's go. Okay, back to your story.
So, daughter number two, off at college, but she also has a dog, and it's a yellow lab. I guess for radio, I could just say it's a lab.
Okay.
She brings it home, but...
What else would you have said?
It could be a chocolate lab, or it could be a black lab.
No. Oh, okay.
Or it could be a yellow lab.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's a Labrador.
All right, all right.
But for purposes of radio, it's a lab.
I thought you were going to say that you ordinarily refer to it by some profane name.
you no good.
Yellow lab!
Hey, let him finish his story.
I'm sorry. That's his wife.
Woo.
Go ahead.
Right. So glad we brought you.
Hey.
I'm glad you're here, Brad.
So,
I can't believe that.
The younger daughter's dog is a young dog. It's like less than a year old, but it's like full grown. It's huge.
And what kind of dog is it?
It's a yellow lab.
It's a yellow lab.
I thought Nala was the yellow lab.
No.
No. It's a Labrador Retriever.
Ricky, got to stay awake for the whole show, okay?
What? Is it like this every show?
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
Except we've got another interrupter with us.
I expect this out of Greg.
I'm just taking back seats.
I noticed you haven't allowed him to speak at all.
Not too much.
So, the second dog is a young dog, and it's just full of energy and oomph, and he's ready to go and romps. And
piss and vinegar.
Said the word.
Not vinegar.
It's the other end, Rick.
So, anyway, we kind of had this mental plan that when these two dogs met, because they'd never seen each other before, that we would have this little meeting outside in the yard,
you know,
and they could touch noses. And
when you've got dogs that have never met, you're supposed to let them meet, like, out in the yard where it's neutral territory, that
right.
One dog doesn't feel like he's defending the other dog.
That would have been great.
Let him sniff their undercarriages and stuff. And just like dating. Go ahead.
Sounds like most of the dates.
Wow. You've kind of been a one-date kind of guy, haven't you?
Sniffing around there, Brad? We heard about your
dates. I meant the neutral territory part. But go ahead.
So anyway, it doesn't quite work out that we're all kind of sitting on the sunroom, and Julia comes to the door and comes in. She's got a dog on a leash, and we introduce the two dogs right there on the sunroom, and there's a level of playfulness that lasts for about 10 seconds for the older dog. And then, you know, real quick, it's had enough of this other dog because it is excited. I mean, super excited, where it's just romping and playing and
They call that zooming in a dog.
Zooming. It was zooming. It was excited. And the old dog runs under the dining table and hides under the chairs. But the young dog's having none of that. It's going in after the old dog. You know, so the old dog's whimpering and stuff now. And we pull the young dog out. And it's kind of doing this zoomy thing. And then it stops all of a sudden and takes a giant dump in the middle of the sunroom carpet.
Where was your wife home when this went?
We were all there. Everybody was there. Me, the wife, both girls, son-in-law, and the old dog, all watching as the young dog squats down and leaves a big reminder.
Let's see. It sounds like a Christmas miracle to me.
So anyway, it's dropping its calling card.
So it had assumed the pose.
Yeah, and it's dropping the. We should have named that dog Captain Kirk. Because the captain's log was in the middle of the living room, okay?
There you go. I was waiting for that, yeah.
Anyway, you know, it starts delivering, and the youngest daughter has it on the leash. She starts pulling it towards the door. So now it's dropping it all across the carpet.
It's
from the middle.
Marking its trail.
Oh, yeah. It's leaving the dotted line all the way to the door. And she gets to
the
door.
What's Sarah's observation while that's going on?
It's, oh, my God, you know. Alan, get some paper towels. Get some cleaner.
Alan!
So it's all right, I'll get it. And Julia's getting the dog to the door, and just as she gets it to the door, it gets away from her, runs down, and jumps in the pond.
That he have right behind the house.
But the pond has been low because, you know, lack of rain, so that when the dog comes swimming out, it has to go through this 10 yards of mud that it's sinking down into. So now the yellow lab is no longer yellow.
Oh, and by the way,
chocolate.
It's well, now a chocolate lab.
I've also heard Sarah tell this story, and her version of it, too, is that she's cleaning up the excrement in, uh-huh. in the thing, and she hears Alan going, no, 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 as the dog's heading towards the pond.
Yeah, there was that.
Was that all the words used, Rick?
So then the dog comes back up to the patio, shakes off as much mud as it can right there on the patio, and then...
It's interesting dogs know how to do that.
Yeah, I know. So then I have to get out the garden hose so that we can clean this other dog. So I get out the dog shampoo, and as I'm setting the hose up, the dog's still very excited because it's had a big day.
And a swim.
And it runs up towards me, and I, like, put out my hand to keep it from jumping on me while it's all muddy, but instead it bites me on the hand.
So now hand.
My hand.
Okay.
It bit me on the hand, so all now right. my hand's bleeding.
Right. Oh, bit, broke
drew
skin.
Blood, yeah, drew blood.
Yeah, if you but, have you a know, dog
it wasn't
bite,
out of anger, it was just out of excited, you know, it was, so.
Imagine if it was mad.
Anyway. We get the dog all cleaned up, toweled off. We get the mess off the carpet and get the dog into the basement now, because that's you know, where the dog is headed, is into the basement. And we're down there, and daughter number two is cleaning the dog, got it all dried off, and says, all right, heading back up to the sunroom. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
That's pretty good.
What? She said, I'm heading on up. She said, everything's calm now. I said, this dog has lost all carpet privileges.
Uh-oh. Whoa.
So that didn't go real good either. But in the end, everybody settled down.
So you love the one dog. You love the one dog and not the other.
Wow. I love both dogs and both daughters equally. It's that son-in-law that's If he had controlled those dogs better, we wouldn't have any trouble.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So it's definitely son-in-law's problem.
So
Merry Christmas!
I guess my main and Happy
question New Year
would be,
in jail.
What did the people in the trailers around you
Oh. Here it goes again.
Well, you know, they got a pretty good show because they were all out frying turkeys. Frying
yes,
turkeys.
The ring house is at it again.
Is that what they say in St. Charles?
Hey, I live in a good neighborhood.
I know you do, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't make you good.
You're the interloper.
I'm the bad part of the neighborhood. Yeah, only the 4th of July. Only a 4th of July.
You're not bad then. You put on a show for everybody.
Yeah, but, you know.
There's always
he puts on a show for everybody year round.
The people that love the fireworks.
Anyway, steps out on the back porch and
does a Cousin Eddie.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, you guys leave at like 9 o'clock.
So you got the rest.
Damn.
That's when the real show starts.
Sorry, this isn't the 4th of July episode.
I'll be back.
This is the Christmas episode.
Christmas episode. Christmas Merry episode. Christmas. Right. We had just finished up Thanksgiving. Now we're enjoying our Christmas episode.
All right, Brad. Christmas memories. Let's go around the tank. Greg, start with you. Christmas memories. Best Christmas memory.
I don't know. I was young. You know, the traditions of waking up to, you know, toys and gifts and everything under the tree. Not too many traditions, too much.
And you're the oldest, so you got the first pick.
Well, I just got up earlier than everybody else. I was usually there, and for some reason, Dad was always in the hall saying, "Go back to bed. Go back to bed." I guess he didn't have quite.
Was he having
Santa Claus yet?
A stone problem at the time?
That could have been. Didn't think about that.
He is a record setter.
He's the only one that went to the tank.
I did.
You did. You went to the tank.
I went to the tank. Had a Chinese doctor.
And we're saying tank. It doesn't mean a drunken incarceration.
No, it's the water tank.
When you have a stone and they put you in this tank.
Kidney stone.
Yeah.
And they send a vibration through that crushes the stone.
Yes. So Dad took me to.
It's like when we used to get in that tank and shoot bottle rockets into it while we were in the water, and you feel that shockwave go through.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about.
Exact same thing. So, the tank.
So,
God, why didn't you say that to begin with?
Yeah. So anyway,
Greg's Christmas. Greg's Christmas. So they put him upside down.
On Christmas Eve, I went to the tank.
Really?
It's like first.
That's the drunk tank.
Yeah. Well, I was there too.
And that's every holiday.
Pretty much.
Wow.
Christmas in jail.
Yeah, that was a good one. But anyway, so we had this Chinese doctor, couldn't understand him. So Dad took me to the procedure, and I got up, and on the way home, hey, Dad, what did they do to me? Well, hell, I couldn't understand him. I don't know what the hell they did to you.
How long did the swelling last?
It wasn't much. I didn't feel anything. It just had the...
they did give you the right procedure.
Stent put up there, which was not comfortable, but...
TMI.
Yeah.
This is a Christmas show for Pete's sake.
Right. Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was fun, the whole Christmas time. It was right around Christmas Day, about 2 days.
So you don't have any happy Christmas memories?
Not after that one.
Do you, Brad? Let's hear your Christmas story.
Okay.
Because you're the youngest.
I've got a Christmas story to tell.
Mine.
Does it end up with someone saying, you've ruined Christmas?
That's ruined Christmas.
That's all of them. No, it was the Christmas when we got up. We're getting ready to go to church on Christmas Day, and
oh yeah,
and we were all kids. We all pile into the LTD, and it had snowed. The Christmas Eve snowed that night. We had pretty good snow, actually.
That's 6 inches, if I remember.
And of course, we're late for church, as we pretty much always were.
Because we're ringhouses.
Because we always were. So we all pile in the car, and Dad, because there's a big snow on, gets a pretty good head of steam coming out of the driveway so that we, you know, they'd plowed the road and there's a kind of a pile of snow that we had to crash through.
He's going downhill, but he still needs a head of steam.
That's right. And we had this dog at the time. His name was Herman. It was a basset hound.
All the Hermans were named.
All of them, because that was on the doghouse. He comes bounding across the yard through the snow and gets to the bank, which is real steep, and stumbles down the bank into the driveway. And Dad ran over the dog on Christmas Day.
With all of his kids watching out the
windows. Every kid in the car. We can't stop. We're late for church.
What about Herman? Should we check
on him? We'll check on him when we get home.
So everybody's got the dog on their mind.
If we don't get there, we won't get a seat.
We're going to leave Herman in the snow for an hour.
Not that we all sat together ever. Ever.
Really?
That didn't happen. That wasn't the rule at the church.
The boys sat over here. Girls sat on the left. Parents sat in the back.
Wow.
I do not remember that. I remember having to sit
Well, Brad, you'd have to go to church to remember it.
I remember sitting on the right side because you might have to get up and be an altar boy.
No, it goes back to when St. Mary's School was open. And when we go to daily mass, and they'd put the boys on the front and the girls on the boys on the right and girls on the left.
Well, there couldn't be that many, could there?
No,
well,
but that's the way it was.
A lot of changes have happened since then.
Wow. Indeed.
All right, but go back to Herman. Anyway, people were worrying about Herman. They're right, wondering about
it. Okay, so Dad ran over Herman, and we all go, you know, but he had this head of steam already. He wasn't going to lose that or get stuck, and plus we were late, so we all go to church. And there's just silence in the car.
And wait, now, in fairness to Dad,
yeah,
we did see Herman kind of gallop down the road, you know, in the other direction. He, like, was apparently alive when we left.
I had no evidence of that. Oh, okay. I have no recollection of that.
Go ahead.
So we all go to church, crying, and we get back home. Dad goes in the other driveway, and we all pile out of the car and run over to where the incident occurred. And there in the snow, you can see the imprint of where the dog was ran over. He didn't run over him with a wheel. He went under the car and got pressed down into the snow.
So it's like a cartoon.
Pretty much.
Like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, like gets run over by the steamroller, pops back up.
Like those dead people in Pompeii, covered with ash.
What?
No, go ahead.
Anyway, there's tracks leading from where the dog was ran over, and it kind of zigzags, you know, goes into a shed, goes behind, you know, another building, and and then down into the orchard and just kind of randomly going all over.
Through pretty deep snow.
Through pretty deep snow.
And ends back at our refrigerator.
No.
Oh.
And finally, there he is laying underneath of a tree, not moving.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Oh,
and we go to over there, and he can't get up. Ew. He's still alive, but he can't get up. And we pick him up.
All of his legs broken.
Yeah, something totally wrong. To look a lot like Christmas. And so we carried the dog into the house, and we had a beanbag chair. And we lay the dog in the beanbag chair in front of the fireplace, and it just lays there for the longest time. And then Dad gets out a bag of potato chips and starts rattling around. The dog leaps out of the beanbag chair, runs over, starts eating potato chips.
Nothing wrong with him.
Not a broken bone, not a drop of blood, nothing.
But he had gone out to the orchard
to
die.
Just a shock of being run over by his family on Christmas morning. Yeah.
So it's a Christmas miracle.
It was a Christmas miracle. Herman lived for a little while. Till he ate that box of crayons.
Another story for another day.
Am I related to you guys? I don't remember that story at all.
The crayons?
Where were you?
All right. I get this one.
Hey, tell them about going out to the farm and mom's been separating, you know, like old family photos. And she said, here's your box of photos, Brad. These are all about you. And he starts digging through it. And in one of them, there's a picture of him as a little child. And he has these braces on his feet. And he's like, what's this? Well, your feet were crooked. We had braces. What?
I had no clue about it.
Zero idea.
So you had no idea you had casts on your feet for
that you're deformed.
You're a cripple.
Mom gave me my baby shoes. You know, everybody has their, you know.
Yes.
Like, they used to get them bronzed and everything.
But they just had spit on yours.
But right. Mom got... His were Forrest Gump shoes.
They really were. They
had a bolt on the bottom of them.
There are holes
they
in
were
the
bolted together
of my baby shoes.
Uh-huh.
They're only like 2 inches long. And
Brad was wondering.
There's a hole in the bottom of each one, and because they had braces on them to keep me...
From
it was to keep your feet aligned.
They were trying to keep my feet aligned.
Since you weren't pigeon-toed.
Just because you had a back like a question mark.
But we weren't, we're not Rockefellers here, you know. So once the foot thing basically corrected itself.
Okay, Brad, there's something else they didn't tell you about that. Dad welded that. He made it.
Yeah, maybe.
Your feet were perfectly fine.
But once they were done, Mom kept the shoes. She's like, well, those are perfectly good shoes.
Right, we'll just cut the bolts
off.
We
can't throw those away.
Brad always wondered why he had bolts on the bottom of them.
And they have holes in the bottom of them. I still have them.
We were going to teach you to tap dance when you were two.
You poor...
He says, I can't.
And so what did you say when you found out?
What? About what?
About having the feet and the extra hardware that went along with it.
I heard that sound. It sounded good. My feet magic started moving.
Let Brad do a commercial.
Yeah, there you go.
Magic legs.
You want to do a commercial?
Magic legs.
He's got the book.
Let me give I'll try a commercial.
Give you a commercial from one of the sponsors here.
Let's see.
No. Yeah, thumb through in there.
No. Oh, God.
Give me a normal one. I'm sorry. Lower on the abnormal side. Like, a little less abby normal.
Commercial. Do a commercial, Brad. Do the sponsor. You worked on the radio before. You know how to do this. Go.
All right. Here we go. Let's see. Today's episode is brought to you by Cousin Bruce's Bail Bonds.
Oh,
you
Bruce.
Got caught poaching gators down in the bayou, down by
Thibodeau,
and no cash to get out. Well, stop singing the blues, wipe the tears out of your eyes, and give Cousin Bruce's Bail Bonds a call quicker than you can say which is the way to the border. You'll be saying goodbye to that dank Louisiana jail cell and all the other Louisiana miscreants locked up with you.
You've been listening to Jerry Reed, haven't you?
Yeah, he's been.
Absolutely.
Down in the
keep
ball.
Going. Amos!
Son!
But don't think that just because you're out that you're scot-free, you still have to show up in court on time. And if you don't, Cousin Bruce has a Cousin team Bruce. Of old high school drinking buddies all rip-roaring ready to hunt you down and stuff you in the trunk of a 1974 Pontiac Ventura, just like Daddy used to have. He'll haul you back into court and collect the bounty. But we're confident that you won't come back to that. We know that you'll be trustworthy, or at least trustworthy as a desperate son can be. Cousin Brucey is open 24 hours a day because, quite frankly, we just assume that when the sun goes up, or when the sun goes down, that's when the trouble shows up. So don't spend another minute snuggling up to your new bayou bunk buddy. Call Cousin Brucey's bail bonds now. And sleep in your own cot tonight. Cousin Brucey accepts all major credit cards, if and you got them.
If it's you.
Cash. It's American. And we will consider barter trades of alligator hides, weasel pelts, and bonded liquor. No questions asked. Cousin Brucey's bail bonds. It's your life. Get out now.
Hey, man.
Wow, brother.
Most people don't know that you were born in Louisiana, Brad.
Or that I was a black man.
I was going to make a point of saying that you were doing Jerry Reed, a white guy.
I sure went from Jerry Reed to Morgan Freeman or something. I don't know what that was. Anyway.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh. Are you exhausted, Brad?
I think he's going to take a nap.
I broke a sweat doing that.
Merry Christmas, okay. Indeed.
Yes.
Show's over, boys.
It is. It's that time.
Yeah, usually the commercials are right.
Don't
the
last 5 minutes.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Rick can edit.
he's over here shaking his head.
All right. See you later.
There's a reason you don't have guest stars.
Exactly.
You know, you're the first ever.
First one.
First ever guest star.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Greg Gator.
And Brucey Gator.
And Alligator.
Bruce Merry Gator. Christmas.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. The Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestler has been brought to you by Uncle Den's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for our cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that legal in hand, see you later from Greg Gator, Rick Gator, and Alligator. This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network, except no substitutes.